Peace and grace to you, dear heart dwellers. This is Mother Elizabeth, and Father Ezekiel had just begun adoration when the Lord began speaking to him. And then, pow! Jesus gave him the whole message, the whole picture. Ezekiel sensed and felt the entire message from the Lord, almost without using any words. God revealed to Ezekiel's mind what he wanted to communicate to him. Here is the Lord's message through Father Ezekiel. Ezekiel began, I heard and experienced at the same time the words, fish on. Now, I'm familiar with chartered deep-sea fishing off the coast of Louisiana. For people who are not familiar with deep-sea fishing, here's a description of the sport, along with the vision the Lord gave me. Several people were on the boat, including the captain and a few crew members. So the boat takes you out about 70 miles off the coast, more or less. And as guests, you are given a long pole with a large reel attached. Immediately, when I heard the words, fish on, with emphasis on the word on, at that moment, everyone drops what they're doing. They reel in their lines and put their poles aside. If anyone left their lines out, there was a good possibility that they would get the lines tangled and knotted. So even inexperienced persons are briefed ahead of time that they have certain rules to follow. Some guests are a little slower than others to reel in their line, and everyone's attention is on one rod which is bent, almost folded in two, trying to reel in a very big fish. Everyone's focus is on that person and that fish, and working to keep the person in the boat and from being pulled into the water due to the weight of a 200-pound fish on the other end. Everyone is engaged in this activity and has a part to play. Immediately, two other people help the person get their pole up and out of the holder. In the meantime, two of the crew members are putting an angler's vest on the person and sit him down in the angler's chair. So he is belted in and strapped into the fighting chair. While he is bracing his feet into the back of the boat, while his chair is only 2 or 3 feet from the edge of the boat, they have set the end of his rod down into another holder that is part of the vest. In the old days, they would just stick the rod between their legs and hang on for dear life. Once he is secured in a seat, everyone's attention is on the angler and the fish. What told everyone to drop everything and spring into action was those two words, fish on. These fish do not come in quickly, and it may take 2 hours or more in the fighting chair just to bring in this trophy fish close to the boat. The captain has one hand on the throttle and one hand on the wheel, but he is looking back behind him the whole time in order to adjust the position of the boat and the trolling speed. A lot of line and lure is used to attract the fish. These fish are so big and so powerful that they would snatch the bait right off the line. So they tend to use large lures to catch the fish. Depending on weather conditions, these lures will animate in the water, attracting their target. Incidentally, experienced fishermen, even before the call, are paying very close attention to every line for any evidence of a strike. Some fish will test the bait, but a moving target that is attractive sets their instinctive action to pursue, give chase, and attack, even if they are not hungry. Bear in mind these are large, predatory fish. Normally, the charter companies have gone out ahead of time and scouted different areas, so they know the signs that indicate good fishing, such as spotting a pod of sailfish and throwing out game fish or bait pods days ahead of the charter. Conditions are favored towards the fishermen, but when the fight is on, it's on, with very little favor to the fish or the fishermen. The gloves are off, and it's you and the fish. Meanwhile, the others on the boat are enthusiastically watching the contest, each having a secret hope inside that their friend will win and end up landing the fish. However, again, it's a long fight. It's a challenge. The point for your opponent is trying to wear down the fish and vice versa. The sailfish, with its long dorsal fin, when they are on the line, so to speak, it makes for a great show. It's absolutely breathtaking to watch. Others, such as the black or blue marlin, while being less colorful, are still very strong fighting fish when they are on the end of the line. Marlin are typically preferred by commercial crews because that's what brings in the money. The sailfish is more of a trophy, although the meat from the fish is very tasty. During this 2 or more hour period of a battle of wills, the other fishermen naturally get tired and distracted, or go down in the hull to get a quick nap or something to eat. But the crew never leaves the angler's side, because they know at any moment he could lose the fish, the line could break, or the fish could throw the lure if there's too much slack in the line. This usually happens when the fish does an aerial display, or they throw their heads from side to side. Finally, at the end of the 2 hours, the fish is much closer to the boat and has tired considerably, as well as the angler. The crew are still keeping a very close watch on the fish and the line and the angler. Some of the most beautiful fish have been lost in those last moments before it is pulled into the boat. Things seem to change gears, and very slowly and carefully, the fish is brought alongside the boat. The angler is drenched in sweat. May require 2 of the crewmen just to help him stand to his feet when he is unbuckled from the chair. Fish and angler are exhausted. One of the crew will reach out with gloves and move the fish slowly and gently along the boat side. Another person may grab a net. However, normally they use what is called a gaff, which is typically a long pole with an oversized hook on the end. The crew members who have been so diligent this whole time and are also tired, with one mighty heave, 2 or 3 of the men will pull the gaff and the fish up into the boat. Now let's say this is a group of college students studying marine biology on a required research trip. They tend to treat the fish in a whole different way. They are very slow and methodical and handle the fish very carefully when they bring it into the boat. Again, everyone knows their part. They quickly weigh the fish while taking a blood sample. The last thing they do before they chart their findings is tag the fish. Sometimes they use a radio receptor, which is very strong, very durable, and almost permanent. The receptor will stay on the fish, so they can check out the fish's general health and movement of the pod. The fish may be injured or sick and is given proper medicines to stay healthy. All this having to be done as quickly as possible to put the fish back into the water so it doesn't go into shock. By that tag, they have accomplished what they set out to do, and the fish are marked for life, like a cross on your forehead. The bottom line is, the moment the people heard, "Fish on," they immediately dropped what they were doing and took their positions. If you are walking around on a normal day and you happen to be an intercessor for souls, you will begin to notice quite regularly your pains, sufferings, your struggles, trials, and temptations. The moment you recognize that you are taking on some suffering, whether it be physical, mental, or moral suffering, fish on. There's the hook. And as you may have guessed, we are talking about souls here. And in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We have a choice at this point. Do we stand in the gap for that soul or souls or country or situation and embrace that suffering and use it as an offering to help expiate sin? So again, it is up to your free will choice. Do I carry this cross or do I walk away? You may feel, "I have been standing in the gap for months for many different souls and situations." Or maybe it's been just a really intense week. In our tiredness, there is a tendency to give ourselves a break. In other words, "I worked hard all week, so I think I'm going to take a break tonight." The Lord will not love us any more or any less. It's simply a matter of conviction. In Galatians 6:9, we are counseled not to grow weary in well-doing. We are only human, and He knows our frame is weak, that we are only flesh. That puts the focus completely on God's grace and not on our own limited ability, because He is God and can do anything. He can easily lighten the burden and make you stronger. The question is our heart for the Lord and for souls. We cannot manufacture strength or love within ourselves. But if we remember to simply ask the Lord to please give me your strength, Lord, and your love and your faith, and to bind us tightly to all of your virtues, and to see, think, and feel with the eyes and mind of our spirit and soul, which He has given to us. So the final question is, do we ask for these graces, or do we rest, take a break, or walk away? Just because the Lord has called us to this and we have responded by grace does not mean that we will always be at peak performance. He still leaves a little room for our own free will, because the Lord does not want grumpy givers. He wants us to be with Him in everything that He is doing as His bride, His friend, His helpmate. And many times we feel the same. So as His faithful servants, let's bring this fish into the boat by staying awake, being alert. We have come too far in our pilgrimage to fall short just before the finish line. The athlete needs his coach to cheer him on and encourage him. Beloved heart dwellers, let's finish the race strong. Do you want to go out in a sputter or a bright flame? And ultimately, it is His grace that brings us across the finish line, accompanied by many souls. A beautiful and rich harvest. It's not based on our performance, but His unquenchable love for us and for souls. And that was the end of His message. God bless you, dear family.